I'm Alexander Watson, author of River Queens and a child of the 1960s, when social unrest was a way of life. John F. Kennedy was assassinated just down the street from my house in 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald 2 days later in police custody, Malcolm X in 1965, both Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy in 1968. Our black and white television flickered with the images of church bombings in Birmingham, marchers in Selma, and always the Vietnam War was in the background. Protesters chanted, "Hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today in D.C.?" While in San Francisco, Timothy O'Leary incited the counterculture to turn on, tune in, drop out. Men burned their draft cards, women burned their bras, and somewhere, somebody was always burning the flag. May and Albert Jackson guided me through it all. They would be domestics except that they were black, therefore called The Help. The movie by the same name gives only a Hollywood notion of the relationship we shared. They were my parents in place of a mom and dad who were often occupied elsewhere. May was picked up out of a sharecropper's cotton field by my grandmother at a time when young Dallas brides needing a maid simply went to East Texas and got one. May raised my dad, and when he proved unable to provide for my brothers and me, she stepped into the breach, declining any pay, and instead telling my mother, herself on the way to work, "We've got children to raise, Miss Vivian, Mr. Mitchell's children." She fixed our meals, washed our clothes, nursed our colds, and kissed our scratches and scrapes. I felt the sting of her tongue often enough, but Albert did the heavy lifting. Albert was a unionized brick mason for my grandfather's construction company until an accident disabled him. He then cut yards and trimmed hedges for all the neighbors, waiting outside for May to finish cleaning up our dinner before taking her home to fix his. Albert never came in the house. He had a mortal fear that the moment he crossed the threshold, white ladies' things would start throwing themselves to smithereens against the floor. When I was really bad, I had to go out in the yard to see Albert, who afterward dried my tears with the tail of his shirt, soaked through and through with the sweat of that day's labors. I attended their club meetings, their lodge meetings, their tent revivals. At the Good Street Baptist Church, I learned to testify, make a joyful noise, pat and sway, and exactly what to do when a person is either took up or falls out with the Spirit. When my speech assumed their mannerisms, my grandfather quickly admonished the habit, saying, "Don't say you know like a Negro," except he really didn't exactly say Negro. He and the rest of my white parentage impressed upon me the goals of money, power, and prestige. My grandmother gave particular truck to putting one's mark on the world. But in May and Albert's company, I witnessed some of the basest cruelty and injustice imaginable. Of course they were frightened and outraged. They were supposed to be. But instead of rising to the bait, they said quietly to each other, "Mrs. Parks sat in the front of the bus." It was a mantra of patience and fortitude to them. It became a touchstone for me. In grade school, I was ashamed that my parents were divorced while those of my classmates were not. In middle school, I was called sissy, queer, or wuss. In high school, the hazing started with names that incorporated specific reference to that peculiarity of the male anatomy. Now, my boat lands me among strangers, and sometimes I choose to live in cities where I did not go to school. And when I feel marginalized, segregated, or alone, I remember May and Albert Jackson, flames reflected on their faces and in their tears, whispering to each other, "Mrs. Parks sat at the front of the bus." Rosa Parks knew that she was as good as everyone else on that Montgomery, Alabama bus on December 1st, 1955. Therefore, she refused to yield her seat,
sparking the civil rights movement. June 28, 1969. The patrons of the Stonewall Inn, New York City, fought back against police brutality and harassment. 46 years later, Obergefell v. Hodges wins for the LGBTQIA community, rights which all other citizens have enjoyed since 1868.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Alexander Watson.